This is a podcast from Newstalk Radio 710 WOR. You've never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union.
You got any Dixie Cups in the house?
Yeah!
Give him two quarters to go.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
No, she can't take your mind.
This is the place to be, WOR 710. You're listening to Taxi Dave's radio show, and guess who I am? Gee, I don't know. I think I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Fenizia. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Okay, and for you baseball fans, well, first of all, congratulations to the New York / San Francisco Giants, okay, on winning the World Series. We have our own doubleheader here this evening. I think for the first time ever, two city commissioners, the New York City Department of Transportation Commissioner Polly Trottenberg, will be on along with the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commissioner Mira Zoshi. And that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Okay, we, as always, we, and towards the end of the interview, we will take some of your calls so you can ask questions to the commissioners. And if you want to jot down the number now, if you can, it's 800-321-0710. It's 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihale@aol.com. taxihale@aol.com. Also, a little later in the show, we'll have Scott Smith. Scott Smith is running for Congress. We'll speak with him. It's unique, unique gentleman, that's for sure. We'll talk about city bike expansion. There's just so much to talk about. Hey, Frank, have you noticed anything interesting about gas prices recently?
I believe they're coming down. I've been rubbing my eyes and I've been filling up at the tank at the station.
You have any idea which state has the highest gasoline prices in the country?
I'll go out on a limb and say California.
Unfortunately, it's not California. It's New York.
Congratulations, New York.
Yeah, number one is something else that's not too good. New York's average, $3.37, the highest in the continental United States. And the lowest states are Tennessee and South Carolina. Their average price for gas right now is $2.75. Of course, you know, if you live on a border with New York and New Jersey, you can save about 30 cents a gallon. You know, how much is gas where you are in New Jersey, Frank?
I paid, good question. I paid $2.89.
That's pretty good.
It was pretty good. I was pretty excited.
If you're in Manhattan, you're paying a lot more than that. Now, it should also be noted that the price of oil, a barrel of oil, I think in June was around between $105 and $110 a barrel. And now it's like $75 a barrel. So as the price of oil falls, obviously because there was less demand, more people are also buying those hybrid vehicles and buying electric cars, which we'll talk about a little later in the show also. So, you know, gasoline is coming down. I don't think we'll see the prices, you know, of $1.10 like 15 years ago. But it's certainly refreshing to see it hover around $3 a gallon instead of $4 a gallon. You know, the AAA calculates that this savings in gasoline over the last year or so puts about $50 a month in the pockets of the average family. Actually, it's $50 a week. How do you like that? You know, unless you have a commute, like let's say 75 miles each way. But what idiot would drive 75 miles each way?
No comment. Listen, you'd be surprised. A lot of people do it. They love being behind the wheel, and it's just the economy and being able to work and live in a place that you want.
Well, you know, a lot of people who live close to where they work, they drive short distances, and they have an opportunity, and they're going to have a better opportunity to use a bicycle, for example, a little bit up the road. And we're going to talk about, that's one of the things we're going to talk about with our guests. Okay, so Commissioner Polly Trottenberg has 22 years of government experience. She spent 4 years with the United States Department of Transportation as Undersecretary of Transportation for Policy, 12 years on Capitol Hill. She served with Charles Schumer, the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, Barbara Boxer, and she also worked with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Mayor Bill de Blasio, as you know, appointed Polly Trottenberg, the New York City Department of Transportation Commissioner, in January. And the Department of Transportation provides for the safe, efficient, and sustainable movement of people and goods throughout the five boroughs. And also, I'm doing a double introduction here. Mira Joshi, I want to thank her for coming back on the show. Used to be the Deputy Commissioner of Legal Affairs and General Counsel for the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. She totally improved the for-hire transportation in New York City, enlisted new ideas and new things and new rules on accessibility, street hail liveries, in taxi dispatch. And before that, she served as Inspector General for the New York City Department of Investigation, responsible for investigating criminals and corruption in New York City's Department of Correction, Probation, Juvenile Justice, and New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. So, without further ado, two of New York City's brightest commissioners, TLC Commissioner Mira Joshi and DOT Commissioner Polly Trottenberg, welcome to Taxi Dave's Radio Show.
Well, thank you, Dave.
You so much.
Okay.
That was a great intro.
Now, yeah, nothing left to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for being on the show.
That was painless.
Let's start with Commissioner Trottenberg, New York City Department of Transportation. We know that there are a lot of bike lanes on avenues now, on the left side. And also, on some avenues, you see dedicated left-turn lanes on the left side of many of the avenues in New York City. Have the results, been the? Have you gotten the results you've hoped for?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's separate out. Why don't we talk first about bike lanes, and I know you want to talk a bit about City Bike, perhaps, and then we can also talk about the left-turn lane.
Okay.
I think the good news on the bike lanes, and look, it's not without its controversy, but it has made it a lot safer for the cyclists. In many cases, when we've taken those avenues, you're thinking of the ones in Manhattan. We've done a lot also to improve safety and traffic flow for the cyclists, for the pedestrians, and for the motorists. So I would say, yes, we've gotten the results there that we like. I'm sure we'll talk more about what your listeners, the cab drivers of New York, think. In terms of the left-hand turn lanes, that's something we really do on a case-by-case basis all over the city. And we're constantly, evaluating traffic flows, safety at different intersections, experimenting with different traffic patterns, left turn lanes, et cetera. So, overall, those have been a tremendous improvement in safety, but that's particularly an area where we're always revisiting and making sure we're getting it right. As you know, traffic's always changing in the city, new businesses, new buildings coming in, new delivery patterns, new commuting patterns. So it's never static. You've always got to keep reevaluating your work.
Evaluating traffic flows and patterns for safety. Do you also evaluate speed?
We do,
yes. Distance? Okay. This is taxi related, and I almost every show I get a call or an email with a question very similar to this. Where are taxi drivers supposed to pick up and drop off on avenues where bike lanes are on the left side of the avenue and bus lanes are on the right side of the same avenue. Can you help us with that one, Commissioner?
Yes. They can go in the bus lane. They can go in the bus lane and expeditiously pick up and drop off.
Legally?
Legally, yes.
Yes.
And if for some reason you get a summons, then that's a summons you should challenge, and hopefully it'll be thrown away. Maybe Mira wants to add to that.
So, David, on this point, and I just want to touch on something that, which I think is symbolic of this administration. It's probably the first time TLC, DOT, and the police department have worked together in sort of lockstep on lots of safety issues. And on this particular issue, we did, the three agencies got together to address ticketing patterns in bus lanes. And PD actually, after the meeting, went back to sort of do some retraining with their guys about when the appropriate time to ticket is and when not. So I think Polly's exactly right. If you get that summons, you should challenge it because you are allowed to expeditiously pick up and drop off.
Hear that, everybody? If you get a summons in the bus lane, if you're dropping off or picking up in a fast manner, a normal manner, you can challenge the summons because the law says you're allowed to do that.
I think we actually put out an industry notice, and maybe we can put it out again, about the proper way to discharge in a bus lane and pick up in a bus lane, and we can go ahead and redistribute that so there's some clarity.
Oh, that would be great. We'll also put it in the newspaper, and I'll read it on the air here as well. Going back to Commissioner Trottenberg, with Vision Zero upon us, and with a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit just days away, will there be any this is a question that was asked last week, and I kind of put the guy off, but it seems like more people want to know if there'll be any signage for pedestrians to prevent the pedestrians from jaywalking or walking with both earbuds in their ears to make it safer.
Well, I don't think we'll have signage for pedestrians because, honestly, I doubt they would notice it. But we certainly are engaging in a very robust education campaign. And we are talking to everyone, not just, I know motorists sometimes feel like this is focused at them, but it really isn't. We're talking to motorists, to pedestrians, to cyclists. And we actually had, just this week, DOT in conjunction with the NYPD did a public education day on the new speed limit. I was out there myself handing out flyers and talking to everybody, people in cars and people on the sidewalk, reminding them all, please be safe when you're navigating the streets of New York. Pay attention. You can't just, tune out and look at your iPhone as you're crossing the street. Everyone needs to be alert on our busy city street.
And you want to give people some idea, Commissioner, how many signs there are in New York City? I mean, you've encapsulated all the statistics that people always wanted to know. If they look at your biography, they'll see the operating budget and how many miles of streets and highways New York City has, street lights, signalized intersections. But, go ahead. So how many signs are there, and what are the chances that all the 30 MPH signs will be taken down by November 7th?
Right. Well, this is one of my favorite stump your friends questions. I ask people, how many signs does New York City DOT have on the streets of New York? And occasionally someone gets it right, but usually people guess way fewer. We have 1 million signs on the street. Now remember, that's not just signs directed at motorists. That's street signs and parking and a whole bunch of things. But we have an incredible number of signs. It is a very big city. We have 6,000 miles of roadways, 13,000 signalized intersections. So, what's going to happen on November 7th, just to be clear for your listeners, is the speed limit, the default speed limit in the city will drop from 30 to 25, and the default speed limit applies on streets where there is no sign. So if a street has a sign at 30, that is not going to change on November 7th, or in some cases 35, even 40. We have some streets in New York where the speeds are higher. So those streets, the speed limit is going to stay the same. Over time, some of those streets we're going to be taking a look at, and some we may lower the speed limit. But on day one, it's just going to be the street where there's actually no sign right now, and the speed limit will drop to 25.
Well, that sounds very fair for drivers. If there's a 30-mile-per-hour sign or a different sign, that's what the law is in that area until things change.
Right, and one thing I would add is, you know, it's interesting as we got into this, you know, we were very fortunate, that proud of our mayor for getting Albany to agree to lower the default speed limit, but as we've thought about how to implement it in a way that is fair to drivers and gives them the information they need to obey the law, we realized the concept of a default speed limit is a little hard to wrap your mind around because it is, by definition, in those places where there are not signs. So one thing we are going to try and do over time, this isn't all going to happen on day one, but to put up, particularly on thoroughfares, you know, working closely with the NYPD where we do see high crash rates and a lot of speeding, to put up signs in those places that will help PD with enforcement and will help also, you know, teach motorists what the right speed limit is. So we know this is going to take some time to get everyone educated, and we want to try and do it in a way that seems fair. We really don't want to play gotcha here.
This is Taxi Dave. We're speaking with both New York City Department of Transportation Commissioner Polly Trottenberg and New York City Taxi and Limousine Commissioner Mira Zoshi. Let's talk a little bit about the Citibank expansion. Okay, Frank, you can ask the first question if you'd like.
I don't even know if I can formulate the language to ask a question. It's amazing. We've got both commissioners on. It's literally like having Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio in at the same time and place. I'm almost tongue-tied, but you know, to talk about the city bikes. I mean, so obviously it's a very successful program. Probably, hopefully, not beyond everyone's original expectations, but it's phenomenal. I think it's great for tourism. It's great for commuters. It's a success. From kind of an outsider looking at what's going on, because where I work, there are a lot of racks of bikes, and there's a lot of people definitely utilizing. So it definitely seems successful from a commuter's point of view. But I know there's a planned fee increase, and I know there was a brief opportunity to kind of take advantage of a discount period. Is there going to be an additional, you know, opportunity or a window to, you know, create an incentive for not only for the individuals who are currently using it, but for those who may be kind of still on the fence? And then I think the other part of that is, you know, for city bikes, you know, what is really the kind of the targeted almost demographic? Is it, you know, commuters? Is it for New Yorkers? Or is it kind of, you know, 50-50 with getting tourism, you know, tourists engaged?
Let me jump in on that, Commissioner Trottenberg here. I mean, the good news is, as you've pointed out, city bike has proved tremendously popular in New York, and actually particularly with New Yorkers, more so than tourists, as it turns out. And it's not surprising. A lot of New Yorkers don't own a car. They may actually not even have an apartment that's big enough to put a bike in, or they have to carry it up many flights of stairs. So it's tremendously convenient to hop on bikes. And I think one of the things, unfortunately, with the initial program is they underpriced it. And, you know, and I've spoken about the fact that although bike share has been tremendously popular with New Yorkers, it suffered from, you know, a certain amount of operational and financial difficulties. And as you all know, we announced this week, you know, a big infusion of private sector investment. And I know, Taxi Dave, I listened to one of your earlier shows in which you made a point of saying you wanted to see whether the taxpayers were going to bail it out or not.
That's right.
Not the case. This is going to be, you know, managed privately and with private dollars. But as a result, you know, we had to let them, I think it was fair that they price competitively. Now, they have been talking about some things that they might do, offering weekend rates or some things that would enable people maybe to try the service out and see if they really liked it. So I think stay tuned. They're going to hopefully have some very innovative pricing strategies. But I think, to be fair, if we're going to let this be a you know, basically a privately run service, we have to give them some ability to price in a way that will enable them, I think, to run an efficient and profitable and high-quality service.
Well, you were quoted as saying that you were going to hold their feet to the fire to make a hefty investment. And from what I read, supposedly Bike Share Holdings agreed to put in $30 million into the expansion?
That's correct, yes. And Citibike, I mean, and Citi, the group, has agreed to put in over time up to $70 million in sponsorship if we meet the targets in terms of expanding the program.
Yeah, well, sorry you listened to my prior shows, but public infusion of money was a concern, and I'm glad the public isn't paying for it. And now Jay Walder has come back into transportation in New York City. I mean, he was here I love the fact that when he took over initially, MTA had 132 different phone numbers. No one knew who to call for what or who was going to answer, and I think he got it down to 3 phone numbers. And then he was, then he took a job in Japan, and all of a sudden, miraculously, comes back. And I'm thinking, gee, I thought this was about bicycles. We have 30 million here. We have Jay Walder coming back. This is big business.
Well, I think, look, first of all, I would say, you know, I'm thrilled to have Jay come back. He's an old friend and someone who was so highly respected in the transportation field. And as you point out, someone who did some real innovative things while he was at the MTA in New York, also starting the process of getting countdown clocks and better information and improving the experience for the customer. So I think he's going to bring that technological savvy and that customer focus to City Bike. And remember, Jay is now not just overseeing New York City City Bike, he's overseeing all of Alta Bike Share's programs that are not only throughout many cities in the U.S., but are really increasingly going to be in cities around the world. So I think we're very lucky to get Jay to come in and do this. And, bringing his tremendous public and private sector experience is really going to be great for City Bike.
Well, here's a comment on an email from Steve. If there is designated bike lane, bicyclists should not be in any other traffic lanes. On top of that, all bicyclists should wear bright-colored reflective safety vests and helmets. Thank you, Steve, for sending that email in. We appreciate it. Chairman Zoshi, something interesting came across my desk this week. Before the green cars, the SHLs, the street hail liveries, came along, there was a lot of illegalities, illegal street hails, solicitations, and before there were SHLs, only yellow cabs were allowed to pick up street hails. Now those green cabs can above 96th Street, but we have another situation. There's a lot of other vehicles, whether they're working with apps or with bases, that seem to be soliciting passengers on the street. So we solved one problem, we have another problem. And
illegal street hails?
Illegal street hails. I understand you may have some new good news about 311?
Well, actually we do. In response to a request that we got, we asked that there be a way for 311 to separate out when people had specific complaints about street hail liveries, maybe picking up illegally or other cars picking up illegally. And after what seemed like forever, but it is done, 311 has made that change so that we can quickly sort of bundle those types of complaints and address them quickly, as well as follow the trends that we're seeing in complaints about illegal street hails. And I have to note, the funny thing is, when you look at a lot of these, I say funny, but actually I think it's a great thing, is when you look at a lot of these complaints, it's professional drivers that are actually complaining because they understand what's going on immediately, whereas the average citizen might not. When a professional driver sees an illegal street hail, they know immediately what it is. Or when they see a green picking up illegally in the hail exclusionary zone. So we're getting a lot of professional taxi and livery and black car drivers that are calling in these complaints, and 311 now kind of understands what they are and what they're about, and they're able to forward them appropriately to us so that we can take enforcement action if we have identifying information.
So hear that. I'm getting a lot of emails about there are some angry drivers who've dedicated a lot of their lives to driving a yellow cab. And they're upset about a lot of things. And it all comes down to the illegal competition.
I just wanted to note one thing. We did just approve, and they should be appearing on the greens in the next few months. You'll see a sticker that is to make it easier for passengers, especially tourists, to understand that they cannot hail a green taxi in the hail exclusionary zone. So I think it's our hail man with an X or red line over it.
and it says, you know, under 96th Street and 110th Street. So hopefully that will help with the outreach so that it cuts off some of the customer supply. It'll also make it easier for the green drivers who do the right thing and tell a passenger, no, I can't pick you up. They can at least point to the decal on the outside of the vehicle now rather than having a disgruntled passenger.
So if you are upset about illegal street hails and having your business taken from you, mark the location, the time, an identifying marker of the vehicle like a license plate number. Call 311 with that information. The Taxi and Limousine Commission will investigate. Is that correct, Chairwoman?
That's correct. And the more follow-through and the more information you give us, the better equipped we are to investigate and, if necessary, prosecute. Obviously, if it is a TLC licensed vehicle you see picking up an illegal street hail, it's much easier for us to locate the driver in the vehicle. Straight plate, it's very difficult for us to do that. But nonetheless, I think it's well worth your time to report it, and especially if it's a TLC vehicle. If you give us time, date, and location, and you're willing to testify if there comes to a hearing, it is through sort of the eyes on the street that we are the most effective.
If you have a question for the DOT Commissioner of New York City, Polly Trottenberg, or the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission Chairwoman, Mira Zoshi, call us now at 800-321-0710. One last question, Commissioner Zoshi. Taxi stands, and actually this is probably for both of you, Commissioner Trottenberg as well. What we've seen in the industry, what I've heard from drivers in the industry, whether it's 8th Avenue from 42nd Street up to 46th Street, large taxi stands and the number of taxi stands seems to have been depleted. And as construction continues, they don't consider this, there's no taxi stands placed, new ones with new construction in strategic areas. But the bottom line is, there was an article this week in the paper about personal functions and how drivers can't find places to park. So is there anything, right, what can we do about increasing the number of taxi stands? Because we have more taxis on the road now than ever before.
This is it's something the two of us work together on, and we've amassed a list that's based partially on industry feedback and partially on our own assessments. And we'll work closely with the Manhattan Commissioner to identify places where we need rest areas for drivers, some taxi stands that can be changed into rest area stands, and then identify new places where taxi stands and rest area stands should be placed.
Okay, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think Mira put it well. We hear you on this. We definitely have the two issues. We certainly want your drivers to have places that they can get out and take a break and do what they need to do. And, you know, one thing we're realizing, exactly as you say, as construction and different things happen around the city, you have to constantly maintain the inventory of taxi stands, make sure they're working, make sure they're in the best spot. So Mira and I are going to collaborate very closely on that. We hear you loud and clear. It's something we need to work on.
And I think there's probably a lot of, the time that's saved for, if a rest area can also be a place where people can switch drivers, that saves a lot of time for both drivers and gas and just time on the road and traffic congestion. So there's a lot the city gains when we have appropriately placed and plentiful rest areas.
Okay, when we come back, we'll take a few questions. Our phone number is 800. What is our phone number here? 800-321-0710. I'm starstruck with both commissioners. We're here with New York City commissioners. Polly Trottenberg from the DOT, Mira Zoshi from the New York City Taxi Limousine Commission. I'm Taxi Dave, and we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union at the beautiful Melrose Studios in Briarwood, Queens. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more Taxi Dave's radio show.
Somebody new. I'm not that chained up little girl. seriously. Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
And whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow? Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you. A brown-eyed girl.
For all my brown-eyed girls out there, I'm Taxi Dave. You're listening to Taxi Dave's radio show. We're here with New York City Department of Transportation Commissioner Polly Trottenberg and New York City Taxi and Limousine Commissioner Mira Zoshi. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And Frank Venezia, how are you doing, Frank?
I think like everyone else, just sitting back and really enjoying the opportunity to ask some questions.
We just had a little technical difficulty in the office. We only have two other outside lines open. Eight of them dropped. So if you have anything, if not, we'll just start with one or two calls.
Why don't you let the callers get in?
Okay. Charbel, you're live on Taxi Insider. And be nice, please.
Yeah, all my respect to the wonderful mayor and taxi limousine commissioner. I would like to say something. Probably they don't understand and they don't see what's happening on New York City streets. New York City streets need more taxi and limousine inspectors to be in Manhattan to go after New Jersey or private license plate. People come from different places with private license plates out of state to pick up people in New York City. We do see it in our own eyes every single day. Now, I do have my medallion payment every single month, $3,800. My home mortgage, $2,300. My car payment for the taxi, $500. Insurance, $600.
Okay, we get it. We get it. It's a lot. We don't want to spend 5 minutes with your question, so I want to thank you for calling and asking the questions. And Commissioner Zoshi, do you have anything, any response for this caller?
Sure. You know, we can never have enough inspectors on the street, but we try to be as strategic as possible with the number that we have. And I'm happy to say on November 7th, we'll actually be graduating another class of cadets, which is at least 40 cadets, who will become full-time inspectors and will be dedicated to doing street enforcement. And as always, Manhattan is a central focus of those efforts.
There's something that I think we need to know. This is probably an NYPD, it is, an NYPD situation and problem. I get many reports from drivers, whether they drive for someone, whether they are an owner-driver, and I'm talking about yellow cabs now, and SHLs, and for-hire vehicles. So the problem seems to be that there's a lot of discretionary summonses being written. In some cases, I'm sure summonses are well-deserved, and it's a great deterrent to keep safety in mind and keep the streets safe. So the question really is there anything that someone can do if they get two or three or four summonses at one time and they feel that they really didn't do anything wrong, but the officer disagrees with them? Does that make sense?
And these are PD summonses?
Yes.
I mean, I think you started your question by prefacing it that this really was a question for PD. And to the extent that you're talking about Vision Zero safety summonses, that is something where the three agencies work closely together. So, you know, we have open lines of communication with Chief Chan, and we can mention that to him. But typically, you know, if you get more than one summons, you have a right to a hearing and to present your side of the case. And I know that's so much easier said than done because it involves taking time away from work, and that means you're not earning money. But the effect of a summons that you don't challenge could be worse because they carry points, and obviously the points have an effect. So, yes, if someone does feel that they've been given a summons and it was unjustified, although it is not convenient at all times and not convenient a lot of times, you really should take advantage of the process that you are entitled to and fight the summons.
Okay, let's take one last call. Do we still have Commissioner Trottenberg with us?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay. Robert, you're next on Taxi Insider.
Yes. Commissioner?
Mm-hmm. You're live on Taxi Dave's radio show.
Commissioner, this is your opportunity to be a genius and to move traffic better than any other commissioner ever did by allowing yellow taxis to use bus lanes for the purposes of traversing across the town, across town, or going north or south in the bus lanes with passengers, no pickups. This will free up a lot of space on the other lanes that you know, that amass traffic currently. So when are you going to be doing that, Commissioner?
Okay, so Robert, thanks for calling Taxi Dave's radio show. We appreciate it. Is there any hope for yellow cabs with passengers to use the bus lanes? I guess that's what the question is.
Well, and I certainly would like to be hailed as a genius. I think, and I know this is a very big issue, you know, for cab drivers, particularly in Midtown. And obviously the struggle we have there is, you know, right now the buses in many cases are crawling along pretty slowly and carrying big volumes of people. So now that said, I know that there's an interest in the, you know, from the cabbie point of view to look at both bus lanes and left-hand turns. And let me say that, you know, again, on a case-by-case basis, let us say we're willing to take a look. I won't say as a blanket policy I can turn over all the bus lanes because, you know, in some cases they're basically entirely clogged with buses. But, you know, let me also say I want to work with Mira on it. And if there's something we can do that makes sense, then let's try and do it. So maybe I'll be happy.
As long as I'll be happy to give credit too. Right.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'll be a full genius by the time.
Well, if you get any of that done, you're a genius. Frank, anything before we say goodbye to our guests?
No, but just thanking them for you know, helping recondition New Yorkers to be safer and more cautious drivers. And listen, good luck with, you know, taking down and swapping out the million signs that need to get replaced. So, but no, thank you. Thank you for all the hard work you do.
Ladies, yes. We have DOT Commissioner Polly Trottenberg, TLC Commissioner Mira Joshi. Thank you for coming on Taxi Dave's radio show.
Yeah,
thank you so much
for having us. Yeah, and thanks to all your listeners who we know are such an important part of moving people safely through this city.
November 7th, folks, that's the day, 25 miles per hour. Don't speed. Don't speed. We have to change the tone across New York City. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have Scott Smith on with us, and Frank and I will have some fun during this break. Anyway, stay tuned for more Taxi Insider, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here.
Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
She said, yeah, 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 yeah. All you need. Oh, yeah. You love me. Good love. Cause you got to have love. Hey, now you got to have love. A little bit of lust. Now, baby, good love.
Taxi Dave is back. This is the Taxi Dave Radio Show. If you were with us earlier, we had a doubleheader. The first time in history, the DOT Commissioner of New York City and the TLC Commissioner of New York City on a radio show, live. And unfortunately, all these questions came in at 840, 838, 841, 842. Folks, you got to ask the questions when the people are here. When they first start the show, so I can get them in.
Can't we make up the answers?
You know, hey, these are some good questions. Why are some bus lanes 24/7? You know, what do you need a bus lane at 3 in the morning on Madison Avenue for when there's no traffic? You know, and some restrictions 24/7. Look at all these great questions we have. You know, when are they going to retime the lights? You know, Pat Johnson, good going. I mean, just all these emails now. Where were you a half an hour ago? My gosh. Frank, any last words about our guests?
You know what? We've said it before. It was a great opportunity to have them both in, same time. Good topics. And listen, they've both got tough jobs. It's not easy. We've all got the answers, or we all think we have the answers, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of constituents they have on both sides of the aisles that they need to appease. So it's
one of the
tough.
One of the things we spoke about is taxi stands. So just to let you know, next week we are going to have one of the top urologists in New York State on Taxi Dave's radio show. Okay? And we're going to talk about problems that could arise if there are not enough taxi stands. With us right now is a gentleman who's running for Congress. Gosh, we have all these calls waiting too. After Scott Smith is on, we'll try to get to your calls. Up in upstate New York, the Lower Hudson Valley, Maloney is the congressman. Nan Hayworth was the congresswoman. Now she wants to make a comeback, a Tea Partier. And Scott Smith decided that he's going to run for Congress. With Taxi Insider right now is Scott Smith. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So why don't you tell our listeners, you know, what pushed you? Why are you running for Congress when they have a Democratic candidate, they have a Republican candidate, and they're getting money backing from both sides, Democrats and Republicans? Where do you fit into this, Scott, and why?
First, just let me say thank you, Dave, because I don't know how much you know about. I've gotten very little attention in the race. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the chance to speak with you and your audience. So that said, the main reason I'm in the race is I, like a lot of people, have for years been going in to vote and choosing the lesser of two evils, you know, to some degree. I've been waiting for a long time to see a third choice on the ballot. There hasn't been one there, and I was finally moved to the point where I decided I was going to make sure there's a third choice on the ballot this year.
Okay. Do you have any problems with the Democratic Party or Republican Party?
I'll be honest with you, I have problems with both of them. I think to a large degree the two major parties more often than not will serve their own immediate interests over the interests of the country or of the people, and I've had enough of that.
And what's your stand on lobbying?
On lobbying, as far as you mean as congressional members once they leave, or just lobbying in general?
Both.
Both of them I have a problem with. It. I think it's corrupted our political system terribly. One thing I've already committed to is that, you know, if I ever do have the honor of serving, I will never work as a lobbyist. I'll go put in some years of service in the Congress, and then I'll return to the real world with the rest of us.
Okay, just in the spirit of transparency, I want everyone to know that about 8 years ago, I ran for village trustee in Washingtonville, along with Scott Smith's father, Steve Smith,
yep.
And we both won. So, you know, yesterday I was at a grand opening in Vail's Gate If you never heard of Vail's Gate, don't blink as you drive by. And I met Scott's brother, and we started talking, and he told me that Scott was running for Congress. And it seemed so intriguing. I mean, the energy and the confidence, the guts you need to get out there when you're not a primary candidate. And I just thought that he deserved some time on the air. What would you like to tell people who are listening, you know, that they may not have heard before, or, you know, to sway them to vote for you?
Well, I guess biggest thing is I want them to know I exist. There's still a large portion of the voters here in the 18th Congressional District that do not know that there's a third candidate on the ballot. The news, although they've done some kind of peripheral stories on me, a lot of them still treat the race simply as the Maloney-Hayworth race. Additionally, I wasn't included in any of the debates even, so no one has had a chance to hear my views on issues. I direct them to my website, which is sendmrsmith2014.com, where they can read my answers to some of the debate questions, as well as look at my positions and policies on various things to learn more about me.
That's sendmrsmith2014.com, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So yep. Let's send Mr. Smith to Washington. Hi, Frank. You have anything for Scott?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Scott, number one, hats off to you. I mean, I think I read a poll actually 2 days ago that said that 42%, and again, it's a poll, 42% of people who live in the United States that want a third option, and that that 42% group is larger than either one of the parties now.
That's true.
You know. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, that's true. And then many other polls, even one recently done on the district, you know, granted it didn't include my name, just Maloney and Hayworth, but 63% of the voters in that poll indicate that they think the country's headed in the wrong direction, but apparently, you know, they seem content to vote for two candidates that have already held the seat and two parties that have, you know, left us with government that's as bad as it's ever been.
So will your name be on the ballot under the Independent Party?
I am on the ballot. The line I earned was the Send Mr. Smith line. However, due to the number of governor ballot lines, my independent line's been bumped off. So I appear in box 6G on the ballot. That's 6G. And in fine print in the box, it says Send Mr. Smith. But I'm there. People will have to look for me, but I am there.
Okay. Thanks for coming on Taxi Dave's radio show, and best of luck, Scott.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you, and you have a good night.
Okay, good night. Oh, nothing like having city commissioners and people who want to run for Congress. That's the greatest thing about this country. You know, if you don't like what you're seeing, this guy is stepping up to the plate and saying, well, I don't like what they're doing. I'm going to try to do it. That's great. Anyway, let's take some of your calls. We've been backed up. We got all the phones. Let's start with, let's start with Amir. You're on Taxi Insider. And Taxi Dave's radio show. Shut off your radio.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hello?
You're still on the air.
Yes. I just want to tell the taxi commissioner that he should do something about the line in front of the hotels. A bunch of illegal cabs standing there with the mafia of the doormen just taking percentages off from illegal cabs and treat yellow cab drivers very poorly, which is extremely not fair. I just wanted to get my voice out there and tell the tax commissioner to do something about it.
Okay, Amir. Thank you. I'm sure since they listened to my other shows, they're going to re-listen to this show in its entirety. And thank you for listening to Taxi Dave's radio show. Keep listening and keep participating. It's important to participate. Write me a letter. I'll print it in the newspaper. Send me an email. I'll print it. If you don't want your name, let me know. I mean, people's opinions count. Eugene, you're next on Taxi Dave's radio show. Okay, how about Paul? You're next on Taxi Dave's radio show.
Hey, how you doing, Taxi Dave? Listen, I just have a little common point where the Department of Transportation person was there. Let me tell you, I respect every person who's a driver. Cabs, commercial drivers, and I'm a commercial driver. My point is, when you take up so many ways of bicycles with, bicycle things, and you tell me as a commercial driver I'm paying insurance, I'm paying for my privilege to have commercial rights to park there. I got privileges that I'm paying for whether Bicycle People or not, and these massive big corporations are taking up our spaces. And the other half of the point is, you've got little bicycle shops. What are you trying to do? Put the little bicycle shops out of business? They pay rent. They pay electricity. They pay heating. All these guys are doing their business, and you've got a big bank trying to step in, or whatever you want to call it, to step in on a little guy and commercial drivers. Because this is insane. If you want a bicycle, buy your own bicycle, keep it in your house, and let the small guy who owns a bicycle shop that repairs everything own that, and get these big corporation bicycle things out of the way so I can park and make my deliveries to the customers that are paying for us to deliver to them.
What kind of business do you deliver for?
Well, I do food. Okay. And the thing is, you only have a certain amount of time to do it, and when you put these bicycle lanes everywhere you go, you know, Dave, you know what I'm saying? The little guy who owns a store, for, you know, the electricity, the gas, all the expenses,
so
tax,
do you deliver to stores or to restaurants or to both?
Well, everywhere.
And
I mean,
do you deliver in Manhattan? I'm asking you for a reason. Do you deliver in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Okay. I have seen on avenues where there are bike lanes in the left lane and left turn lanes in the left lane and bus lanes in the right lane. You actually have to park in one of the three lanes of traffic that are left of traffic in order to deliver your goods. And how many times do you get parking tickets?
when they come by every few minutes, you know, if you don't know what block you are and what time to go, you're just trying to dodge the ticket. That's all you're doing. These politicians are taking our money and raping us, and all these bike lanes, we're paying it with federal dollars. So all these 50 states are paying in to these little cities that are doing it. It's insanity. It's insanity, Dave. That's all I wanted to mention.
So I take it you don't like the city bike program at all.
No, because you know what? You're giving one big corporation the rights and the money to take up all that space. But like I said, Dave, there's little bicycle shops all over the place. They're trying to do little mom-and-pop businesses, and they pay electricity, property taxes, gas, electricity. You think their expenses are nothing compared to what these major corporations are going with?
Hey, you have a valid point.
You got it, sir. You have a good day.
Thanks for calling Taxi Insider. We have another email. Looking forward to security cameras in yellow cabs, and it could prevail a lot of things, including illegal pickups and taxi fare stealing. I guess what he means is the runners, when they run out of the car without paying. Yeah, that's a possibility. And here's two emails that are so long, it would take me the rest of the show to read them. I don't need novels here, but I appreciate you listening and contacting me. I'll try to print them in the newspaper. Okay, so as I stated before, we are going to have one of the top urologists in New York State, okay, and to talk about problems that could result from a lack of taxi stands. And what I do want you to know is for Amir, who was talking about the lines outside the hotels, apparently there are some public officials who are listening to this show, because I just got an email, and it says that the Taxi and Limousine Commission met with the Hotel Association recently, and they're actively working on the hotel issue that Amir just brought to light. So there is hope, Amir, and for others who witness, see, get upset about doormen and the situation that exists in front of hotels in Manhattan, I've just been reassured that the Hotel Association, which is the way to go with this, by the way, and the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, they're on the job taking care of it. So this administration is responsive. They hear you, and they're moving forward to try to secure the industry and make it better. Isn't that good, Frank?
That was awesome. Listen, Amir knows how to get things done. He asked the question, and already there's action.
I wish it were that simple. Let's see. What else do we have? Okay. Those calls are done. I can't read this. It's just too long. Sorry, folks. We were talking about the price of gas going down. Also, electric cars, some of them plug in, but a lot of them now are purchasing an option, solar panels. Okay? I mean, it costs thousands more. You know, like maybe up to $7,000 more, but you get a federal tax credit on it. And just think about that. Solar panels charging your car, if you're not a subway or bus commuter, and you do drive, and you have to drive, and let's say, you know, your commute isn't 75 miles each way. Let's say it's 7 miles each way. What a wonderful way to save money in the long run. No gasoline at all. In fact, if you have solar panels, you may not have to charge the car that much. Frank, do you have an electric car?
No, I do not.
Too bad.
I know. Hey, listen, I'm one of those guys paying at the pump. I know. Believe me, there are days I wish.
Yeah, and, you know, we were just talking that it was, you know, New York State is the highest in the country, and South Carolina and Tennessee have the lowest prices in the country. Here's an email we just got. Excellent decision to control the traffic and reduce accidents. Be more effective if cyclists and pedestrians are also controlled. So they only walk again on green lights. They stop talking and texting and using their cell phones and not paying attention to moving traffic. They should watch their crossing lights as well. That's from Mr. or Miss Pandy. Okay. I want to thank our guests this evening, all our listeners, our guests, especially the Scott Smith running for Congress, Commissioner Polly Trottenberg from the DOT, Commissioner Mira Zoshi from the Taxi and Limousine Commission, all you callers, all you emailers. I'm Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Radio Show, and you folks make it. It's a live show. There's no other place like this, no other show like this. Thanks a lot, Frank. Appreciate it. And we'll be back next Sunday. Brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Hey, taxi!
You've been listening to a podcast from News Talk Radio 710 WOR.